Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Chav Gimel. We will begin in Mitzvah Shem, Beizer Hashem Yisbaruch, on Daf Chav Beiz, Amud Beiz, at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Hakol Ksherim, Lichtav Saget. Everybody is qualified to write a get. I feel a Cheres Shoyt V'Katan. Even a Cheres Shoyt V'Katan, who throughout Shas are identified as individuals who are not B'nai Das, not people of proper Das to do something which is halachically required, for this they are accepted. So Pnei Yeshua asks a question that under normal circumstances, if a katan is going to write a get, he's going to write it on a piece of parchment which belongs to him. And if the piece of parchment, as the Pnei Yeshua, belongs to him, we know that a katan does not have the ability to give over in a kinyan something to someone else. So how could that get, which as we've been learning in our shurim, the halacha is that the husband has to be the owner of the get, be considered a kosher get, if the katan doesn't have the ability to be makna, to sell that, to give over ownership of that piece of paper to the husband. So the Chasam Sofer explains that we're going to have to say that we're talking about the parchment belongs to the husband, not to the katan. But the Chasam Sofer says that is a simple answer, but not so simple. Because the Chasam Sofer points out that there's a concept throughout Shas of uman kaina b'shvach keli. If somebody gives me something and I improve it, then even though what I started off with did not belong to me, the halacha is umen kaina b'shvach keli, I become the owner of that object because the improvement that I put into that object. So over here, when we started with a plain piece of parchment and the cotton improved it by writing a get on it, it becomes his. And the question that we began with, therefore, comes right back. How could that be a good get? How could that be a good get if the cotton is the owner and the ownership really ought to belong to the husband? So the Chasam Sofer answers that we only apply the concept of uman kaina b'shvach keli is when the uman, the person, in this case being the cotton, wants to do something to improve it, wants to take ownership. The cotton in our Mishnah, the Cheres Shoyt V'Katan, in our Mishnah are not anxious to take on the ownership of this get. Since they're not interested in taking on the ownership of this get, we don't automatically apply the concept of uman kaina b'shvach keli. The other pshat that he suggests is that uman kaina b'shvach keli means that when you improve something and it becomes more valuable, so because you were the one that caused it to become more valuable, that's why it's considered yours. However, explains the Chasam Sofer, here it might be more valuable as a get, but it's only valuable as a get to the husband, to the wife who are divorcing. To the cotton, it has no special value. It's not his wife that's getting divorced, and therefore over here, we don't just apply the concept of uman kaina b'shvach keli. Tosfos asks that there's another issue. We've learned many times in our Masechta the concept is that the only people who could be involved in the writing of a get are people who have connection to the get. That's why we've learned that an akum cannot be involved in the writing of a get, because an akum is not in the parasha of Gittin and Kedushin. So Tosfos, the very mask of Aha, asks that a cotton is not a person that's in the parasha of Gittin. So how could he be a qualified individual to write a get? So Tosfos answers that they are, because when the cotton will become an adult, and when the Shaitim, Mitzvah Shem, will become healthy, then the halacha is he will be considered valid he will be in the parasha of Gittin. And Akum is completely excluded. So ask the Noida Behuda, based on what Tosfos just taught us, the halacha is that a cotton is not allowed to write tefillin because he's not a black shira. Since he's not an individual who's obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin, he cannot be the individual to write tefillin. But according to what Tosfos asked, just said, that since he eventually will be in that category, that's enough to put him into the parasha. So here too, this katan will eventually have to put on tefillin. So why can't he write tefillin? So Rabbi Chanan says that when do we say that somebody is not in the parasha is when he's completely, at this point, not in the parasha. Somebody who can't, the katan that can't do a gerushin is not because he can't give a get. It's because there's an outside factor excluding him. In other words, what I think Rabbi Chanan means to say is that somebody who is physically not able, somebody who's physically not able to do a mitzvah is out of the parasha. A katan is not physically, at this point, obligated to do the mitzvah. The katan could get married, it's just that he's not a bar das. And that's why it's not the same. So again, HaKol K'sheim L'chtav HaTzaget, HaFil HaKheri Shoyt V'Katan. Similarly, says the Mishnah Yishu K'sevis is a get. A woman could write a get. And of course, as we've learned, if a woman were to write the get, the halacha would require that before the get is given over to her, she has to give it to the husband, be makne to the husband, who will be makne to her. So ask the Ran if that's the halacha. We've learned many times in the last number of shiurim that the halacha is that if there's an act that has to come between the ksiva and the nesina, that is invalid. Like we learned in our previous year, if the get would have to be detached from the ground in between, it disqualifies the get. So why isn't the fact that this woman has to be matna, has to give ownership to the husband of the get, not considered interruption? So he answers that when do we say that something is considered an interruptory act? He says it's only considered an interruptory act and it's something that has to be done to the shtar itself. Like we said, that the shtar has to be detached from the ground. But something which is not on the shtar itself, it's just the kinyan, is not considered enough of a significant interruption that it should be considered an interruption between the kosav and the nasan. Hish kosav shavrei, the woman gets a ksuba payment, and she ought to write the receipt to her husband that she got the ksuba payment after they got divorced. But the Mishnah says, as we will discuss in the Gemara, as we discussed, that the husband writes it and then gives over ownership of it to the husband. And then the Mishnah ends with a statement which we will, Mitzvah Shem, discuss: She'ein kiyum haget ela b'chesamav. And what that means, we'll learn in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, how could the Mishnah be gone that a cheresh shoyt v'katan to write a get, but v'la b'nei deyinu, they don't have adequate intelligence to be doing so? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, the case of our Mishnah is referring to who shegadol oimer al gabav. There's an adult standing there, and he's supervising it. And the adult supervising it, that's why it's going to be as if a gadol was involved in the writing of the get. And the Rishonim explain that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds Eidim Asira Karti. And as Rabbi Elazar says, that because Eidim Asira Karti, when the Torah writes for Kosov law, that we learned so many times in our Masechta, law l'shma, means on the actual writing of the get. And what happens here is that by the gadol standing there as the katan writes the get gets infused with the proper das. But what about, why can't it be like Rav Meir? Because Rav Meir says Eidei Chasim Mikarti. If you hold Eidei Chasim Mikarti, it means that the people who are signing the get have to be independently intelligent, and they are not. So here we're learning that we have a new concept of Godel Oymer Al Gabov. And Godel Oymer Al Gabov makes that it should be considered acceptable. Why? In other places in Halacha, point out the Ran, the Ritva, that Godel Omer al Gabov is inadequate. For example, if a chalitza is being done by a brother who's a cotton, we don't say that Godel Omer al Gabov is good enough. So they want to differentiate in the following way, as I understand it, the way they want to differentiate. By a get, there's a din that a get has to be written l'shma. What is the focus of that halacha? The focus of that halacha is the writing of the get. Just, there's a new halacha that has to be done l'shma. But the writing of a cotton is a good writing. So since the writing of a cotton is an adequate writing, the Godel Omer al Gabov could give that, can infuse into that writing the necessary das. Whereas when we speak about chalitza, the act of chalitza is an act that has to be done with das. And since it's an act that has to be done with das, that a katan is unable to do. And that's why I saw that Rav Shimon Shkop and the Chassam Sofer and Rav Chaim all say, as we said already in our shiur today, that a katan is not an individual who can make a kinyan. And the question is, why don't we say that a katan should be able to do a kinyan with a gadol omer al gabav? So as we often explain in our shiurim, what is the concept behind kinyanim? The concept behind kinyanim is that a kinyan shows gemiras das. Why does the halacha require that every transaction be accompanied with a kinyan? The reason the halacha requires a kinyan is to show gemiras das. The gemiras das has to be the person who is right, who is doing the kinyan. And if we have a katan who doesn't have the ability to do gemiras das, then the halacha is the katan can't. Then the katan can't do it. That's why for kinyanim, gadol omer al gabav would be inadequate. And then Tosfos and the Ramban and Ran and other Rishonim ask that the halacha requires that the husband appoint the sofer to write the get. In our Mishnah, the individual who's writing the get is the chereshoit of a katan. So they ask, how could a gadol appoint a shliach to write the get on his behalf? A katan is labah shlichus. So some say that the husband doesn't have to appoint the sofer in the role of a shliach. The husband has to appoint the katan in the role just to write the get, not as his shliach. Others say that he does have to appoint him as a shliach, but the lishlichus that the shlichus in the appointing of an individual to write a get is not the shlichus that we normally encounter in Shas. Throughout Shas, the definition of shlichus is shliach shel adam kemoisai. Here, it doesn't mean that the shliach, the katan, becomes an extension of the gadol, because that indeed a katan is unable to do. What the shliach in our Gemara means is that he should fulfill my obligation to write. He should fulfill the husband's obligation to write. That type of shlichus, if he's able to write, he can do. So we just were introduced to the concept of gadol omer al gabav. There's a number of places in halacha where we speak about the gadol omer al gabav. The Shulchan Aruch quotes in Siman Lamed Beis Sif Tes, quotes a machlokes rishonim of the Rambam and the Rosh. We know that the klaf that we use for tefillin has to be made l'shma. Is it, if a Yisrael, if the non-Jew is the one that's processing it, and Yisrael's Omer al Gabav and does minimal participation, is that adequate? The Rosh says yes, the Rambam says no. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Yud Aleph Sif Beis quotes a similar machloikis regarding the making of tzitzis. If a non-Jew is the primary one that's making the tzitzis, and a Yisrael is just participating in a very minor way. The same question the Pesukim discuss regarding matzah's mitzvah, the matzah that we are yoytzeh, the mitzvah's matzah by the Seder, where it has to be made l'shem mitzvah's matzah. Can we have a nochri do the actual preparation of the matzah with Yisrael oimil agabav. Amr says the Gemara v'chen Amr Rav Chana mishmei deula for who shishai makom atayrif. That when are we saying that the get is valid, it was written by Chereshoit v'katan, is only if he left over the makom atayrif, as we often repeat in our shiurim, that the tayrif is the unique aspects of the get, and since they're the unique aspects of the get that only speak to this couple, so that has to be written in Lishma, because it's following the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar, as we said earlier in our shiur, who holds Edim Asira Karti, so he gives great importance to the actual writing of the get. Since he gives great importance to writing of that part of the get, it has to be done strictly by a gadol, not by a chereshoit v'katan. Rav Zayka Amar Rav Yochanan Eina Torah. This is incorrect. My Eina Torah, what does that mean? Amar Rav Abba, Kan, the Mishnah, the Yachash Ein Koich Lishma, that you don't have to write the get Lishma, Rameyihi, the Amedech Simakarti, so it doesn't bother me who wrote the get. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Rav Yochanan's opinion is that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameyer, where we learned, asked the Gemara, Vamar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he taught us explicitly that Rabbi Lazihi. He says that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar. Answers the Gemara, Amaroi the Libra de Rabbi Yochanan. There's Machloikus Meroyim, what Rabbi Yochanan held, who is the Tan of our Mishnah, is a following the opinion of Rameyer or Rabbi Lazar. Says the Mishnah further, Hakul Kshem Lahavi Saget, everyone is able to be a shliach to deliver the get. All of these individuals are not qualified to be the one to, and not qualified to be the ones to bring the get. Kibul katan, but says the Mishnah further, if when the katan received the get, he was still a katan. For hegdol, but before he actually delivered it to the wife, he became a gadol. Or cherish, when he actually received it from the husband, he was a cherish, a devenus bakech, and then he became no longer deaf mute. Or suma, he was blind, venus batech, before he actually delivered the get, he became able to see. Shaita, at that point, he was unfortunately a shaita venishtafa, and then he got well. Ivikachavim, or he was an ivikachavim veniskayer. In all these cases, the halach is the delivery is possible. Because at the moment of the appointment of the shliach, as of the shlichus, they were individuals who were not qualified to be shlichim. Al pikeach, if he was a pikeach, when he became a shliach. And then when the scharish, he became a cherish. But the chazv in the spakech, before he actually delivers the get, he baruch shem, gets well. Or he was pesuach, he was able to see when he received the get. The nistaman, then he unfortunately became blind. The chazva nistapach, and then by the time he gives the get, he's well again. Shafui, he was a fine mental situation. But then nishtafata, he then became a shaita. The chazva nishtafa, and all these cases, kosher, he's kosher to grieve the get. Zeh klal, and the Mishnah summarizes. Kol shetchilasoi v'soifai, if at the time of accepting the shlichus, and at the time of doing the shlichus, he is bedas, he's a full halachic das, he's kosher. Says the Gemara, begins the Gemara, Bishlama, chereshoit v'katan, we could understand why they cannot be shlichim. The labadeinu, they don't have the proper das. Oivikachavim nami, oivikachavim is also not able to be a shliach. The labar teiruhu, as we've been learning throughout our shiurim, you have to be in the parasha of Gittin, to be able to be a party to the giving of a get. El Asuma, but ask the Gemara, what about Asuma? Asuma Mailoi, why is Asuma not qualified? Says, so the Rishonim ask, why don't we just say, because there's a machloikis throughout Shas, if Asuma is Chayei B'mitzvos. So why don't we just say that our Mishnah is following the opinion that Suma is potter in a mitzvah, and since he's potter in a mitzvah, he should be able to do it. So the Rishonim say, obviously the easy answer is that our Mishnah follows the opinion that a Suma is chai b'mitzvahs. But even according to the opinion that Suma is not chai b'mitzvahs, we have to say, we go back to a word that we said in Tosfos at the beginning, since he could potentially, that should be enough. Amar of Sheshes says the Gemara, because a Suma has another problem. Since unfortunately he cannot see, he doesn't know if it's the husband who's giving him the get and if it's the wife who's receiving the get, which is critical to the proper fulfillment of the shlichus. Maskel of Rabbi Yosef, if that's a concern, that because a suma can unfortunately not see, his ability to do anything is limited, and we can't let him do anything because he can't see. So then ask the Gemara, hey, suma muta bishtoi, how could a suma ever get married? And furthermore, says the Gemara, it's not only a question for a suma, it's a question for every one of us if we want to have relations with our wives and we can't see them. What's the reason that that isn't a halacha concern? Because we could rely that we could recognize them through their voice. So as says the Gemara, Hachinami. So why don't we say the same thing here, that we could rely on Betfias Eina de Kaila? So here our Gemara has introduced a new halachic concept, and that is the concept of Tfias Eina de Kaila. And what we know as voice recognition. The Rimagash says that if somebody heard two witnesses testify that they overheard Reuven admitting that he owes money to Shimon. Bezdin accepts this testimony as evidence of Reuven's obligation. They didn't see, actually, says the Rimagash, Reuven admit to the debt. They just heard it. So why can they offer this testimony? Says the Rimagash, because we rely on what we just discussed, Tfias Aina de Kala. The Tzois disagrees. He says that even though regarding Dinei Isser, our Gemara, a husband and a wife, we rely on Tfias Eina de Kala, we do not rely, says the Ktzois, on Tfias Eina de Kala when it comes to monetary issues or to capital punishment. And the Gemara, in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Zayin Amar Aleph, discusses Amesis. A Mesis is an individual who tries to persuade people to worship Avodah Zarah. And it says there that a Mesis is dealt more severely than any other Baal Aveira. Even though normally we know that somebody is not Chai Misa unless he had Asra, a Mesis is Chai Misa even without Asra. And the Brisa says there that if a Bezdan learns that Reuven tried to persuade Shimon to worship Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't have the necessary evidence to prosecute him, they try to get Reuven to incriminate himself in the presence of Bezdin. What do they do? Bezdin tells Shimon to prompt Reuven to say what he said to him while other Edom are listening to this conversation from a nearby room. So Rashi says that the Edom only heard, but they didn't see. So why should that be considered valid edus? And the Ktzois says that what does Rashi mean to say? Rashi means to say you can't rely on Tfias Eina. The Prichadish says that's not the reason why we can't rely on voice recognition. Because we have to be concerned that if somebody's trying to get somebody to do something wrong, he may be the one that's changing his voice. And our Gemara, and what the Prichadish is teaching us, that even though there is a concept of Tfias Eina de Kala, the concept of Tfias Eina de Kala is not applicable in a case where somebody's trying to avoid the Kala. And there are a number of halakhic examples. The Panami office asked the question that the Yosef brothers did not recognize him. Why did Yosef's brothers not recognize him? Because But why wasn't there all those times that they met? Why wasn't there tfis ein of the kala? So the Panim Yafa says that Yosef never spoke directly to his brothers. As the pasuk says, kamelitz beinaisam. There was always an interpreter in between. And that was exactly what Yosef was concerned about. He didn't want to speak because he was concerned that his brothers would recognize him. Another pshat that the Imri Emes suggests is tfis ein of the kala. We can only rely, he says, on tfis ein of the kala when it's the voice that I know you with the voice that you always speak to, with the language you always speak to me. Over the, if you speak a different language, there's no tfis ein of the kala. And that's why the pasuk says when Yosef ultimately reveals himself to his brothers, he says, kifi hamadabra aleichem. What did he mean by saying kifi hamadabra aleichem? What he meant to say is, till now I didn't speak Lashon Kodesh to you. So you couldn't know through the tfis eina, the kala, that I am your brother. But now I'm speaking to you in Lashon Kodesh. Kifi hamadabra aleichem, and that is a tfis eina, the kala. And the Teretz Tamim says that if the Teretz that we suggested, that we said before, that if somebody's trying to conceal his voice, when somebody's trying to conceal his voice, then we say that he could conceal the tefias ein of the kala. The pasuk says, "Avram zaken baba yomim." Avram Avinu got elderly. Yom Avram avdoi. Avram Avinu calls in Eliezer. And he tells him to go find a wife for Yitzchak. And the question is that why was Avram Avinu, why does the pasuk have to say that Avram Avinu was old? What's the difference? And if he was young, he's not looking for a shidduch for a son. So the Sefer Peninim Shulchan Gevoya quotes Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, the chief rabbi of New York, that said the following pshat. He says, we know that the Gemara in Masechet Baba Metzia that Pei Zayin Amar Aleph teaches us, Ad Avram Lo Yizikna. Until the time of Avram Avinu, there was no such thing as old age. And somebody who wanted to speak with Avram Avinu could easily get confused and speak to Yitzchak, and so too vice versa. So he says as follows. If there are two people in the world, in this case, Avram and Yitzchak, that have the same voice, so then those people can never have relations with their wives at night. Because our Gemara just said that how could somebody have relations with their wife at night? The only way they can have relations with their wife at night is by tfias ena de kala. But by Yitzchak, if he were to try to have relations with his wife, there's always concern that maybe it's the call of Avram Avinu. So only... when Avram Avinu got old, and the Gemara says at that point his voice changed, and there was no tfis ein of the kala, that's when Avram Avinu says, now when we don't have to be concerned about this, can Yitzchak get married? And the same question, the Mefarshim asked, when Yaakov impersonated Esav, why did Yitzchak not recognize that it was Yaakov, not Esav, by the tfis ein of the kala? And the answer is, two answers. One answer is that if somebody, as we keep on repeating, tries to change their voice, then there's no issue of tfis ein of the kala. And another answer is that there are a number of ways of changing, of checking who is the person in front of you. One is the voice, and one is by feeling him. Yitzchak Avinu indeed had the concern when he heard Yaakov Avinu's voice. Was that indeed Yaakov Avinu? But the tfias ain't the, but the but Yaakov Yitzchak Yitzchak was more comfortable on relying on the mishmash on touching him than the kol, and therefore he discounted the kol. The pasuk says that when Rivka sent Yaakov, the pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu was concerned, Ulay Yimushani Avi, and she says, Olay Kaloscha Bani. What did Rivka mean to say by Olay Kaloscha Bani? So Chassam Sofer says, a beautiful pshat. he says that Yitzchak was blind. And Yitzchak, how could Yitzchak have relations with his wife Rivka after he was blind? The answer is, as our Gemara just said, he relied on Tfiyas Eina the Kala. But now, when Yitzchak realizes that he cannot rely on Tfiyas Eina the Kala because Yaakov was able to fool him, then he will never have relations with his wife again. So Rivka was saying, by me giving you this advice to do this, I will be the biggest loser. But she said, Olai Kaloschabani, I'm prepared to take it just that you should get the bracha. The pasuk says that as Klal Yisrael approached the Yam Suf, the pasuk says, V'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael. Klal Yisrael began to daven, and Rashi quotes the Mechilta, Tafsu umnus avoysam. What does it mean, Tafsu umnus avoysam? So the Likutei Yehuda quotes the Chiddush Arim, that he says that when somebody davens, how do we know that he's being sincere in his tefillah? How can we be confident that he's sincere in his tefillah? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows the tefillah, the tefillah's ein of the color, who recognizes when we daven that we're sincere. Tafsu umnas avaysam. Just like our forefathers, when they davened with the full sincerity. So too, Klal Yisrael at that time davened with the full sincerity. And because they davened the full sincerity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they are the people that I can rely. There are also questions. Till now we explain different parashas in the Torah based on the tefillos ein of the kala. The question that the Poskim discuss is, can we rely on tefillos ein of the kala for different situation? One is regarding a situation of voice recognition for an aguna. And there's an incredible story that took place in the time of the Noydeb Yehuda. In the time of Noydeb Yehuda, we know was the Rav of Prague, there was a woman whose husband had disappeared for a long time. And he wasn't here for a very long time. And then, Baruch Hashem, he appeared. And everybody had an annoying feeling. Is he really the husband? Is he not really the husband? So what did they rely on? They relied on Tfiyas Eina D'Kala. His voice was exactly the same as the husband's. So it's a proof, based on what we're learning in our Gemara, that he must really be the missing husband, will rely on Tfiyas Eina D'Kala. But the father-in-law and the wife were still concerned that this may be an imposter who got to know the husband and was able to impersonate the real husband's voice. So what did they do? What did Noydeb Yehuda do? The Noydeb Yehuda told the father-in-law, Mitzvah Shem Shabbos, you'll come to shul with your presumed son-in-law, and when you'll come to the door, you stop to talk to an acquaintance of yours and tell your presumed son-in-law, go to our seats. I'm coming in a minute. And of course, when he did that, the impersonator was caught because he didn't know, even though he had learned much from the husband about his family, about the wife, and about his voice, and about a lot about the family, he didn't think of asking this husband, and where does your father-in-law sit in shul? And that's the way he was caught. But the point that the Noydeb Yehuda is making, which is relevant to our shir, that we could see that we can't completely rely on voice recognition in halachic situations. And the same question comes up, that let's say somebody wants to appoint a shliach. Somebody wants to appoint a shliach to write a get on their behalf, and they want to do so by telephone. And the question is, can you rely on telephone appointment, maybe because it's all based on voice recognition? Maybe in a world of Zoom, it's less of a concern. But in a world where we only have telephones, can we rely on telephone appointment? And the Shas Chuvas Beis Yitzchak, Evan Ezra Chelik Beis Simon and Gimel, discusses the Shaila, and he says that because of the various examples that we've given, that we've shown in all of those examples, that voice recognition is not 100% foolproof, we cannot rely on voice recognition. So now we're back to our Gemara, but our Gemara very much did rely on voice recognition. So if that's the case, why can't the Suma bring the get? And the concern is that he doesn't know who the husband is, he doesn't know who the wife is. He could recognize them through voice recognition. It says the Gemara, Elam Rabbi Yosef, the reason why a Suma is disqualified is Hacha b'chutz l'aretz eskinen. We're referring to a get that came from chutz l'aretz. The Baal HaMeimer, that he has to be able to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. And of course, somebody who's unfortunately blind, like Matzil HaMeimer, can't say those words because he didn't see the get. Amalei Baya says the Gemara, if that's the case, Elamato, in a case where somebody was psuach, he was healthy at the time of being appointed in the get, v'nistama, and then he became blind. Our Mishnah said that such an individual is disqualified from being the shliach. Why? The Matzi Amar, he can honestly say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, because when he was appointed as a shliach, he did see the nechta v'nechtam. V'haktani, but our Mishnah taught us, pesuach v'nistama, if he was healthy and then he became blind, v'chazan nistapa, and then he gets healthy at the actual time of the delivery of the get kosher, but only chazav v'nistapa, only if he got healthy in can he be a aid. Loi chazav v'nistapa, if he doesn't get healthy, if at the time of the delivery of the get he's not healthy, why? He can't. Says the Gemara, no. A suma, as long as he wasn't a blind at the time of being appointed to give the get, afgav delay chazav v'nistapa, even if he doesn't get healthy, doesn't get his eyes set back, he could give the get. So if that's the case, why didn't the Mishnah say so? Says the Gemara, I did the tani shafi v'nistapa, v'chazav v'nistapa. There, of course, he has to be healthy at the time of the delivery of the get. Tam d'chazav v'nishtefa. However, loy chazav v'nishtefa. If he's still a shite at the time of delivery of the get, loy, he can't be the deliverer of the get. That's why, by the blind person, we mentioned the same case, even though the halacha is not actually identical, by a blind person and a shite. Taninam pasuch v'nishtefcha v'chazav v'nishtefcha. Aravashi dekanami. I'll bring you a raya that a person who was able to see at the time of his appointment to the shlichus, even though at the time of the delivery of the get he's blind, it is an issue. They can name the ketanizah klal. Kol shet chilas v'soifa b'das. As long as when at the time that he was appointed and when he brought the get he had das, he's fine. Why does the Mishnah use the case of Das? Because by Das, indeed, you have to have Das throughout. But here, you don't have to have Das throughout. As long as you had the ability to see at the time of appointment, that would be adequate. Says the Gemara. By Minei, Rav Ami. They asked Rav Ami the question. Eved Mashi Yasa Shlich L'Kabel Get Isha. Can Eved Kanani be the individual to receive the get for a woman from a husband? Amlu, Midakar Apostle of the Kachavim, just like the Tana says that Akum is disqualified, Mechlal, isn't the Mishnah teaching us that strictly Akum is disqualified? Eved Kasher, says the Gemara, Omer of Amsi, Omer of Yochanan, Eina Eved Nasa Shlich L'Kavu Get L'Isha Miyad Bala. Fi, She'ena Mitturis Gitim Gedushin. The concept that we keep on repeating in our shiurim, somebody who doesn't know the parasha of Gittin cannot be the individual who's not in the parasha of Gittin cannot be the individual to deliver the get. Maskel Rabbi Elazar says the Gemara, Tamad Milsa Delisa. So why are we disqualifying him? Because he's not in the parasha of Gittin Kedusha. Haber Milsa D'Isa, in the case where he is qualified, we know that the halacha is that Eved Kanani is chayiv b'mitzvos kenoshim, has the same halachic status as a woman. So he's not already tevel. So the halacha is that he should be kosher to take off trumas and maestris, because he clearly is in the parsha of Trumas and Maestris. He's not allowed to eat Tevel. And ask the Gemara, V'ayvikachavim, V'akuti, the Gemara says, this new B'tayrus Trumas de Nafshayu, an Ayvikachavim that owns land in Eretz Yisrael could take off Trumas. V'ayvikachavim, to this, the Trumas Terma de Nafshayu, that not Ayvikachavim V'akuti should Tarma Mishalahem. If they take off Trumas from their own produce, Trumas and Truma, but Tanan, Ayvikachavim should Tarma Shal Yisrael. If Avikachavim took off Truma from Yisrael's produce, Afila Brishus, even if he was appointed by the owner to do so, ain't Trumasa Truma, it's not valid. My tam loy mishum deksiv, kain Truma gam atem, ma atem Yisrael, af shluchachem Yisrael, that just like you are Klal Yisrael, the shlichim have to be in Klal Yisrael. So if that's the case, why is an Eved able to take off Truma? He's also presumably not Yisrael. It must be because an Eved, so the halacha should be that an Eved also should be excluded. So why, even though he does have connection to the mitzvah, just like a Kuti has connection to the mitzvah and he's still excluded, says the Gemara, Amar de Rabbi Yani Loi. The way to understand that pasuk is Ma'atem b'nei bris. Klal Yisrael have had bris milah, and they're part of Klal Yisrael. That's what the quality that you need to have to be a shliach. Af shluchachem b'nei bris. But so therefore, an eved is a ben bris. An eved is a ben bris. A kuti is not a ben bris, and therefore, since a kuti is not a ben bris, that's why a kuti cannot be the one to. That's why Kuti cannot be the one to take off Truma as my shliach. Amar Chiba Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ena Avid Nas Shliach LeKabel Ish Gad Ish Miyad Bala. Avid cannot be a shliach Kabbalah. Lefish Ena B'Taras Klit and Kedushin. Vav Apish Sheninu. Even though we've learned that if somebody wants to free his Avid, and he gives while the Shifcha, while his mother is still carrying him, he could give the shtar shikra to the mother and say to Hare at Shifcha Vladik ben Chayrim, Im Haisa Ubra Zachsaloi. At that point, she could take the shtar shikra for him. So what does ask the Gemara have to do with her being pregnant? Mayim Haisa Ubra Zachsaloi, says the Gemara, Ki Asra Shimu by Yehuda, Amra Yehuda Tati Amin. What was taught with two halachas. The first halacha that was taught was Nirin Hadvarm Sh'Eved B'Kabel Get L'Chaveray. One Eved could receive get for his colleague, the Eved, Miyad Rabbi Shal Chaveray, from his colleague's owner. Avalei Miyad Rabbi, not from his own owner. And the reason is, because as long as the Eved is under the ownership of his owner, so whatever he takes from his owner, there's a concept of kama shikana eved, kama shikana eved, kama rabbi. So the moment he takes the get from his own owner for the other eved who's owned by the same owner, the get has not left the rishus of the owner. The definition of a shtar shikra, is a person that took the shtar shikra from the owner. But if the owner never had that shtar shikra leave his rishus, because it goes to his own eved, who's really an extension of him, it wouldn't help any. That this halacha, we learned that if somebody says that harei at shivcha, if somebody says to a shivcha, you will remain a shivcha, but your son will be free, im haisa ubra zachsala. But why is that different than the case that we just described? We just described that a person cannot be the one to receive a shtar shikhr from his own owner. Amrloi, respond to him to this question. Shnei gedol pirshas adavar. Two great talmid chachamim answered this question. Who were they? Rav Zeir, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yitzchak. Chad amar haman Rabbi Hidama mishachta hamishach chatzi avda koinai. If somebody frees half of his eved, it's a valid act of emancipation. And therefore, the Eved that's being carried by the mother is considered partial, is considered still part of the mother, is considered part of the mother. What is Rebbe's reasoning? A fetus is considered an extension of its mother. And therefore, since a fetus is considered an extension of the mother, so we just learned that, yes, one Eved cannot receive a get shikr for another Eved that is owned by the same owner. But an Eved could receive a shtar shikr for himself from his owner. And the shifcha and her uber, the shifcha and the baby that she's carrying are really considered one and the same. And since they're considered one and the same, so therefore, when she is receiving the get shikr for her, for the baby that she's carrying, she's not receiving it for somebody else, she's receiving it for herself. Kamishek nalot, it's like a get that's been given to her. And why is it, and therefore it's like giving her to Echem Everel, and that's why it's a valid reception, it's a valid receiving of the Shtar Shikr. The Achrayim ask, the Pasuk says that when Rivka was pregnant, the Pasuk says, V'yisroitz Abana Bekirba. And the question is, at that point, these children were still fetuses of the mother. So why are they considered Bonim? We just learned that Uber Yerech Imai says, so the Achrayim answer that even when we say Uber Yerech Imai, we only say Uber Yerech Imai in various halachas. But let's say the baby that's being carried by the mother is a treifa. Just because the baby that's being carried by the mother is a treifa doesn't mean that the baby himself, that doesn't mean that the mother is a treifa. You could have a fetus that's a treifa, and the mother is not a treifa. So what happened here was, Rivka did not understand the behavior of these children. She was concerned that there may be treifa. And if, as far as Hilchus treifa concerned, they're not considered uber yerech ima. And that's why the Pasuk says, v'yisroitzu habonim. And for, as far as Hilchus treifa concerned, they were already considered independent bonim.